Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's talk to our man, Dave Archer, as we do each and every Friday, guys. And Arch, as we talk about this upcoming game on Sunday, Mike and I have been talking about, you know, keys and what we need to do. And let's start with the running game, because the Cardinals are giving up a bunch of yards on the ground. But are we going to be effective in our run game?
Well, I think it's going to be a good afternoon, guys. It's going to be a scenario you got to sort them out from a blocking scheme standpoint. If you take a look at them on tape, defensively, they've got good personnel. And I think you guys have probably named some of the names that they have defensively, both on all three levels, really. They're pretty good from a personnel standpoint. But their style is an aggressive, get-after-you style. And based on what I've seen on tape, they have a tendency to stunt themselves out of run fits. And so they'll slant the line one way, they'll bring linebackers another, or they'll bring somebody out of the secondary, and they're not overly disciplined in how they fit against the run, and so they're getting gashed occasionally in the run game. So if you look at their run game, yeah, they're giving up a lot of yards, but it's big hit runs, which bodes well for potentially Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith to potentially gash him for a big play. And we know if Tev gets clean, he has a chance to take it to the house. So those are some of the things I'm looking forward to, hopefully. Now, you got to get them blocked, you know, and if they do misfit, you got to get them blocked and shove them out of the way. If you do that, you got a chance to gash them in the run game.
I know we've tried some different combinations with the tackles, and I know that we talked about it earlier, Arch, and Dan Quinn mentioned that Sombrello showed out in practice, and that's why he's getting the start over Schrader. So, I mean, whether it's and how they mix it up with Chandler Jones, whoever's going to be coming after him, I mean, do you feel Matt can have a healthy, clean pocket?
Well, it's always the question, Mike, is can you protect him long enough for him to give an opportunity? And the run game will help. You guys have talked about that throughout the year, and so have I, and the fact that if you can get some semblance of a run game, it slows the pass rush down. Maybe it takes some of the sting out of what they want to do from an aggressive standpoint. But ultimately, you will have to drop and throw. And so how do you do that? And so a guy like Chandler Jones, you're probably going to have to, you know, pay close attention to him and chip release him. I mean, Golden's a pretty good player on the other side as well. His numbers aren't what Chandler Jones are, but he's a guy that can get after the passer as well. So that's very cognizant. You're going to have to take care of the details like Quinn has talked about, where if you're a pass setter, hopefully you studied enough tape where you have a decent idea what Chandler Jones or anybody else is going to do from a technique standpoint, and then your technique's got to be sound. You got to set the proper way. Don't give angles to allow guys to get to the quarterback quicker. Keep your shoulders square to the line of scrimmage. All those kind of things that you know about that you have to execute on game day are going to have to come to the forefront, especially when you play guys as good as Chandler Jones has been.
Arch, how are they using future Hall of Famer Larry Fitzgerald now? And how does, you know, he play into their game plan? Obviously, we're watching one of the best receivers to ever do it, but what are they doing with him now?
Yeah, unfortunately, Larry's numbers are down if you're a Cardinal fan, simply because of the young quarterback and their inability to protect their passer. And they've really struggled up front as well. They've got a number of injuries along their front wall, and guys they expected to play, Humphreys and Apati, who were supposed to anchor that left side of their offensive line, are out. So they've struggled to find people to fill in. They're just not walking the streets, guys that can block and pass protect and get after people in the run game. So their numbers have struggled significantly. I know you guys have probably talked about where they're ranked offensively. Well, Larry Fitzgerald's numbers have suffered significantly as well. Larry had over 100 receptions a year ago, but this year's been different. Young quarterback kind of learning how to play at this level. What can you get away with? When do you squeeze the trigger? When do you not? All those things are part of what Josh Rosen is trying to learn. But ultimately, one of the great receivers that we've ever seen play, and Larry Fitzgerald, his numbers are way down. They still move him around. They're still going to put him in the slot. They'll still try to find mismatches for him. He'll line up outside the numbers in conventional situations, but when they go to 3-4 wide receivers, they'll get him inside where he's a nightmare from a size standpoint, his ability to make the contested catch, all those kind of things are still there for Larry Fitzgerald. The biggest thing that I take away from it is if you're a fan of pro football and you want to see one of the great players of all time, make sure you're at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, because we don't know what Larry Fitzgerald's future is. And hopefully he'll line up a couple more seasons, but this might be the last chance you ever get to see this guy in person. So take advantage of seeing one of the great receivers of all time in Larry Fitzgerald this weekend.
And one of our favorite guys. We got a chance to interview him at the Falcons Super Bowl down in Houston. Just a great, great guy. And we've been encouraging folks. And, yes, there are plenty of great seats available, but the secondary ticket market, if you are looking for a cheap ticket, you hadn't been to the Benz yet. I'm not trying to be a Weisenheimer, but, yeah, they're out there. So go get them. Arch is with us. He and Wes Drewham will have the call right here on 92.9 The Game. Wes, one thing we didn't talk about with Wes this week, and let me ask you, Arch, about the blitz. And why we didn't blitz more, we've seen him kind of do it selectively. I know Dan wants to get the pressure from the four down linemen, but Poole, we've had success with that. I mean, is that something we should have tried when we were in this losing streak to maybe dial up a little bit more?
Well, it's always, you can always second guess yourself, Mike, as to some of the things you'd like to come out. I think you're trying to slow play a little bit, trying to not give up big plays. And So I guess it's the old adage, you want to die a quick death or do you want to die a slow death where you've given up, you know, a 10 or 12 play drive where they ultimately score. This defense has been pretty good this year, guys, and the fact that they've given up, you know, some plays underneath and they haven't gotten on the field on third down, and subsequently teams have eaten up the clock and possessed the ball a significant amount in some of these games, but they haven't gotten beat over the top. They haven't given up big plays, so that's the conventional wisdom, is that you make teams try to string plays together to get off to put scores on the board, and at some point they're going to make a mistake. Because if you watch our offense, that's what's happened to us. Teams have tried not to give up the big play,
right,
and subsequently we've had a holding penalty or something stupid's happened where we've turned the ball over or something, and it's prevented us from scoring points. That's kind of what you wanted your defense to do. And for the most part, they've done that. And so I think that's the philosophy, Mike. I hear what you're saying. You want to get after him. And if you do have some success, sometimes you can stay with the aggressiveness. But it also, live by the sword, die by the sword. You're going to give up big plays as well.
It's Dave Archer, guys. We're talking with Dave about the upcoming game on Sunday. Falcons, Cardinals at Mercedes-Benz. You'll listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And I know Dan Quinn's been talking about focus all week long. How do you get the guys to do that? How do we buy into the mistakes that we've made and now focus for a full, you know, four quarters?
Well, it's nothing that you and I or Mike or anybody else can do, Carl. It's a matter of guys, you know, use an adage from cards, playing cards. You got to check your hole card. I mean, you got to decide whether you're going to stand up and go or you're going to cash all your chips in or fold. And so most guys will tend to take the pride angle, and they'll say, okay, it's up to me to be a little bit more focused. I talked a little bit about your pass protection. We talked about there earlier in the segment about keeping your shoulders square, doing the technique things that give you an opportunity to succeed. Now, it doesn't have, you're not going to win every time because the other guy is going to beat you sometimes. But if you can win more of those battles than they do, that gives you an opportunity to win the game. But the only way you do that is to focus in on the details. Where do I place my foot when I come off the ball? What's my landmark when I put my hands on a defender as I drive block in the run game? What is my path as a running back? Do I widen, which helps my lineman in front of me get on the block a little bit quicker? Or am I a little bit tighter, and now all of a sudden the defensive lineman doesn't get the width, and he has the ability to blow through an A gap or B gap to blow up the run game? Those are all the little details that I'm talking about that the fans are not going to pay any attention to. They just want to see the end result.
Right.
But the end result doesn't happen if those guys don't take care of those things. And so too many of those little things are not being taken care of. Subsequently, you have an inconsistent performance both on offense and defense.
Dave Archer with us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Arch, got to ask you about a guy you played with for a number of years with the Falcons, Bill Frelick, only 56 years of age. I got a chance to meet him years ago, and we were talking about it earlier, the great Pitt offensive lineman that he was a part of, Jimbo Colbert and Frelick, all those guys that played for Dan Marino. I mean, sad. What can you say about Bill Frelick?
Well, Bill's a great teammate. It's a sad day whenever you lose anybody, regardless of they're a teammate or not. But Bill was a guy that was a highly decorated offensive lineman, played offensive tackle at Pitt. Atlanta moved him inside. He played guard. He was an all-pro at guard. He was the preeminent guard. Gigantic lower half that you could come off the ball and just mash people in the run game. Big, wide-bodied guy that had long arms. You couldn't get around him in the pass game. And he was the premier guard while he played in the National Football League. But a good teammate. And I had a chance to have many a beer with Bill Frelick. Mm. Sat down and laughed and told stories and did stuff together. So, yeah, sad day for all of us in the Falcon community, or anybody that really had a chance to get to know Bill. And obviously his Pitt family is mourning right now as well. So it's a sad story, and all we can do is remember all the good stuff that Bill brought to the table. He was a very devout guy as far as his family. He was very devout. and working in the public. He did a good job with a lot of charity work and stuff. So, yeah, gone way too soon, Bill Frelick.
No doubt about it. It's Dave Archer, guys. I just want to end on this note. I know you talk with Matt frequently. We play our first and 10 with Matt Ryan that you do each and every week. Where is Matt? And I mean mentally, where is Matt? Because he's had a really good season despite the fact that we've not had a consistent run game, and he's kind of been running for his life.
Yeah, he's in a really good place. I have a chance to speak with him, obviously, for that interview, and you guys play that. But in and around that, he and I have a number of private conversations. But I think he's in a great place. He's got a great attitude. He's excited about the last three games here to try to play as good as he can possibly play. He does say there's something to the momentum that you can carry into an off season. It's something that's important to him to try to right the ship here down the stretch to try to get some wins to carry them into the off season where you feel pretty good about yourself and what you're building to. But he's really focused in on this game as he does each and every week. But he just wants to get off the schneid. He wants to win a game. And I think that's the number one focus of all these guys that are going to wear the bird on the side of their helmet. Our bird, not their bird.
Right.
But they want to win a game. They want to get things going. And they understand this is a big weekend, too, for fan appreciation, regardless, Mike, whether fans are going to come or not.
Right.
They do care about the fans. I know Coach Quinn holds it near and dear to his heart, how much he likes playing at home. So those that are there, they're going to try to put together a performance that the fans can be excited about.
Well, gosh knows I'll be there with a lot of beer in my hands. Do you think Hooper's going to be okay to go? We know that Ito's a little banged up. We might get to see more Brian Hill this week.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if Hoop can go. Pretty severe sprain of his ankle, a little twist of the knee. So it happened late in the game, and he was not able to return. So, obviously we'll have to wait and see. Probably a game-time decision on Hoop. He's a tough guy. Even though he's California cool, he's California tough too. So hopefully if he has any opportunity to play, he'll be out there.
Arch, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll be listening on Sunday.
Okay, fellas. Take care now.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.